For this evening, I would like for us to consider, you know, we talk about doing good. But what does it mean to do good? You know, oftentimes we think about, well, we give money to the poor. We feed the hungry. And these are good things. But we want to look at the context of Galatians chapter 6. In particular, Galatians 6, verse 10, where Paul says, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of faith." What does he mean by doing good? In order to understand this, we're going to look at the context and back up to chapter 5 and look at verse 13. "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." Paul's point is, he's been talking throughout the book of Galatians how we're not underneath the old law. Yet there were people in the Galatia region wanting to push Christians, especially the Jewish or the Gentile Christians, into following the old law. And Paul's point here at this point is to say, freedom from the law does not mean freedom to sin. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see a similar point. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. "Act as free men, but do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God." Freedom means the opportunity to serve each other in love. We have a freedom to win others to Christ. This is what he's talking about here. If we can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9. And in verse 19. 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 19. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more." Now the old law did teach people to love each other. Back in Leviticus chapter 19, we look at verse 18. Leviticus 19, verse 18. "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So this idea is summarized in Romans, as this is what the law is about. In Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 and in verse 8. He says, "Owing nothing to anyone except love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." But the problem is that people get to the point where they're feuding with one another. They're arguing with other. And those feuds pull people away from the truth. And that is not love. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you." And when there are feuds, well, they're generated by people pulling, basically putting themselves first. is being generated by selfishness. And that's James' point in James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed of whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your member? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You do not ask and do not receive, or ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So, the context here is that we're talking about freedom. Not freedom to do anything we want, but freedom to do what is right. In fact, Paul goes on in Galatians chapter 5. If we go down to verse 24, he says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful and challenging one another, envying one another. We crucified the flesh with its desires. In fact, earlier in Galatians, Paul said in chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I crucified the flesh. It's not I who lives, it's Christ who lives. And thus we abstain from sins like lusts. Going again to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, this time to verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. It is so important to stay away from it. Paul says we don't make any room for it. In Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 and verse 13, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Instead, Paul tells us in Galatians that we are to walk by the Spirit, because it's the Spirit who gives life. In fact, Jesus mentions that in John chapter 6. And in verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are life, are Spirit, and are life. In order to do that, Paul says we can't put ourselves first. Instead, we should consider other people more important, as it mentions in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. So instead of pride, I need to have humility. Going to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this brings us into chapter 6, where he says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourselves, so that you too will not be tempted." A lot of times we get to chapter divisions, we think, oh, we totally changed topics. It's just flowing. There was no chapter divisions when it was first written. This is just flowing from the previous ideas. The spiritual are to rescue those who are caught up in the ways of the flesh. We're supposed to stay away from lust. But those who get caught in that trap, those who are spiritual are to rescue them. It's part of our love for one another. What are the ways of the flesh? Well, Paul lists out back in chapter 5, verse 19. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So we who are spiritual, we have to work with the weak. In Romans chapter 15... Romans 15, and in verse 1, he says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just to please ourselves." There's that ideal of humility again. And when we do have to admonish somebody, we do so as talking to a brother. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 15. "Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." When correction is done, it ought to be done gently. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23. 2 Timothy 2 verse 23. "But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive to do his will." So in other words, when we're talking in Galatians chapter 6, we're talking about saving souls. We're not talking about the physical needs. Not necessarily. This is why there's a warning that we got to be careful that we're not caught when we're helping people. That we don't get caught in the idea of pride. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall." So as we go on in here, in verse 2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." So the burdens then are spiritual burdens in the context of what we're talking about. We're not talking about physical ones. Burdens that come about because some of us get involved in sin. Take a look at Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 and look at verse 6. "Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke?" It's talking about helping people out of sin. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Remember, Paul said that we are called for freedom. Going back to Galatians 5, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We're freed from sin. And we use that freedom then to strive to help other people get out of sin. In Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. And this fulfills the law of Christ. Take a look at what in John chapter 13. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, that you also love one another. What does my love look like? I'm concerned about you getting to heaven. I'm concerned about your life, that you live to your fullest extent as righteous. And if we look at then going on in Galatians, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. So if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. Now recall that it is by selfishness that we're pulled to the flesh. In fact, let's take a look at Romans as a proof text. Romans chapter 12. And verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And then jumping down to verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. We have to have a reasonable view of ourselves. Not that we are superior to somebody else, but that we want to help other people. We can't be caught in the trap of thinking that we're better because we weren't caught in their particular sin. In fact, Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 26, Proverbs 26 and verse 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. When we start thinking too highly of ourselves, we stop thinking properly. So we must put ourselves to the test, not by comparing ourselves to other people, but comparing ourselves to what God wants of us. In fact, if we go look at Galatians 6, verse 4 again, it says, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. Take a look also at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that you may learn not to exceed what is written, so as not no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you do not receive? And you do not receive it, why do you boast as if, or if you have did receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? We don't compare ourselves to other people. We don't think ourselves as superior to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse 5. When it talks about love, it says, love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. If we're going towards righteousness, then that should be enough to satisfy us. Take a look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 14. The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own way, but a good man will be satisfied with his. I should be satisfied that I'm doing what is right. And again, it's not because I think I'm better than anybody else. It's because I'm doing what God said to do. So the joy comes from within, not because other people praise you. And then continuing on in verse 5 of Galatians 6. For each one will bear his own load. Which almost at first when people read this, it sounds like a contradiction. We just said we've got to bear one another's burden. And then he turns around and says each one has to bear his own load. We carry the responsibilities for our choices. Like, for instance, in Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, and in verse 20, it says, the person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. You're not better because someone else failed. And you're not worse because someone else succeeded. In Romans chapter 14, Romans 14 and verse 10, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. We receive the reward for our labors. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. If you look back at Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, it says, each one will bear his own load. The word that's being used there is forcion. It means an obligation, a service, or a duty. We help those caught in sin bear up under the load of sin. This is part of our duty, and we can't push it off on anyone else. And the success or failure in helping others doesn't change our status. Only whether we make the effort to help. That's what God's expecting out of us. God requires that we love one another. We help each other through the hard times and the burdens and the struggles with sins. But my helping doesn't change necessarily me. Whether somebody else receives the help or rejects the help, that's up to them. I'm responsible for me. And my responsibility is I help. And so, in Galatians 6, verse 6, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. The one who is taught, the one who is in sin, who is being helped out of sin by the spiritual, should share with his teacher. Now, it could be monetary sharing, but it's not necessarily just that. For instance, in Romans chapter 15, the Gentiles were taught by people sent out by the Jews. In Romans 15 and verse 27, Romans 15 and in verse 27, yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. So the Gentiles shared both spiritual things and material things with those who helped teach them. So the student should take up common cause with his teacher, sharing all that is good and righteous. And material things are one aspect of that. This is talking about all good things. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. If we sow spiritual things in you, is it not too much if we reap material things from you? And then also down in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. So also the Lord directed those who proclaimed the gospel to get their living from the gospel. But take a look also at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. See that no one repays one another with evil for evil, but always seek that which is good for one another and for all people. We share what is good with everyone. In fact, we're told in Titus that we should show a pattern of good work. Titus chapter 2, verse 7. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. As we continue on then in Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Now remember, Paul's been talking chiefly about spiritual things. And again, he sees this by contrasting between the flesh and the spirit again. Harvest is what happens when you after you plant. You plant seeds in the ground, 6 months later or so, you go and harvest what you have planted. And there's a point that's often made. When you plant something, you get more than what you planted. I don't put a corn seed in the ground and expect to get one corn seed back. I'm hoping to get a whole bunch of corn seed back. Well, in Hosea chapter 8, and in Hosea 8, verse 7, for they sow the wind, and they reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads, it yields no grain. Should it yield, the strangers would swallow it up. The point at the beginning, he says, you sow wind, you get back a tornado. You put it in bad things, you get more bad than you expect back. And it goes the other way too. If you look at Hosea 10 and verse 12, sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. Sow righteousness and the Lord will bless you with righteousness back. What we do then reflects, or what we gain, I should say, is what reflects with what we do. In fact, that's how we're going to be judged in judgment in Romans chapter 2. And in verse 6, Romans 2 verse 6, he says, who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those who have by perseverance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so we're told throughout the scriptures we are not to get tired of doing good. Take a look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the traditions which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any one of you. Not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone's not willing to work, he's not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey our instructions in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him, so that he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And also take a look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm to the end. We cannot be tired of being a Christian. Amen. And the next verse, verse 10, which we started with, starts with therefore. This is the conclusion of everything Paul has been saying up to this point. Therefore, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, do good to everyone. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, it's not limited to, it's not focused on monetary aid. It's not limited, it's not excluded. The chief concept is continuing to do righteousness. Again, what we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. Monetary generosity is just one aspect of doing good. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. And again in Titus chapter 3 this time, in verse 8, he says, this is a trustworthy statement concerning these things. I want you to speak confidently so that those who believe God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These are good and profitable for all men. And if there is a group that we should be doing good to, it ought to be our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we are the same family. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. We share life together. We're not strangers with each other. We're strangers to the world. In 3 John, in 3 John verse 5, beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, for they testify to your love before the church. You do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. And we do help in times of need. Like in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, says, do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him. And that's because Christ takes note of what we do. Going to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 40. The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. I want you to consider that when we focus on a single verse, sometimes we lose the richness of what's being expressed because we end up losing track of the context. When we forgive, we're doing good, such as in Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. When we teach, when we show patience, when we give thanks, all the things he just listed, we're doing good. And yes, when we help with each other's needs, we're doing good. But what we need to realize and understand is All our needs are not monetary. The things I may need most in this world may not have a dollar sign by it. More deeply, we have spiritual needs. And the greatest joy is to see that those we love receiving eternal life. One last passage in 3 John verse 4. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. This is what we're talking about. Looking out for one another, helping each other, helping them through the burdens of sin, helping them overcome the world. Because in doing that, you help yourself. I hope you think about these things. If there's anyone here who wishes to become a child of God, we leave that opportunity always for anyone. And for those who are children of God, we'd like the prayers of your brother on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.
Have you all the